Your horse racing preview is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.
And I'm delighted to say Martin Murphy joins us on the line again this week. And Martin, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem, Patrick. How are you keeping?
I'm doing very well, Martin, but you're in hot, ripping form at the moment because last week you put up five horses, three winners to go with it as well. Warnock won a 10-1. Outsam won the Cork National at 13-2, and there was another winner there as well at 11-4. So you're 11-4, I should say. So you're on flying form at the moment, Martin.
But it's a change as good as the rest, I suppose, Patrick. I'm sure the punters must be fairly skint after a dodgy year, I suppose, but that's the way things go. No, it's just fancied Warnock a bit, all right, and I was glad to see Outsam win, in fairness to for David Russell. I thought he gave him a super ride as well, because he isn't the best of jumpers, but he just showed a lot of promise last season. Maybe things are going his way now. But yeah, it was a great weekend of racing, and you know, as I said, the Breeders' Cup was obviously exciting. Not much joy for the Irish, as we kind of half guessed, but it was some good racing. It was great to see Enable win. She really is a tremendous mare. I just thought Magical might do her this time, but unfortunately that wasn't really the case. Good race in the Melbourne Cup then, of course, and she was plenty of drama. Sad to see what happened to Cliffs and Moore, no doubt about that. We don't want to see those type of things happening, but it's unfortunately it's a horse race and all that. And you know, this weekend an awful lot of stars coming back to action. I would like to Footpad and really good horses from last season, like Apples Jade and Identity Thief, and it really is now cranking up to be a very good national season. A lot of rain due forecast for today, Patrick, which I know, I suppose, a lot of people wouldn't like to see that, but for a lot of the national trainers it's very welcome. I think we're going to have nice soft ground for the weekend, which is proper national hunt weather, and we'll see a lot of really good horses coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we'll be going around the world a little bit later on, including and having a look at the final day of the Melbourne Cup Carnival tomorrow, which will be taking place at Flemington. But as Martin said, good national hunt racing this weekend is the order of the day. And before we look into that, I suppose, Martin, just to wrap up the flat season from last weekend, the Irish flat season, that is, the champions were being crowned last weekend, and Shane Cross with another fantastic weekend last weekend, Aidan O'Brien picking up his 21st championship victory, and Dunnock O'Brien picking up the championship jockey title.
Yeah, all excellent seasons for them, as per normal. Like a lot of people say, you know, obviously Aidan O'Brien didn't have as good a year as he had in 2017, but he had 28 Group 1 winners worldwide that time. That was obviously a record. But I mean, he had 14 Group 1 winners all over, Patrick, in 2018. Certainly no mean feat. A lot of it was made of he kind of had a little bit of a bug there during the summer, which slowed things down a bit. There's no question about that. But to have 152 Irish winners, I mean, that's a record. Unbelievable achievement, really. And Dunnock Elliott did a great job, obviously. A very good young rider. I don't know how he does the weight, because when you stand into him, he really is towering above you the whole time. I thought, you used to think that Joseph was had problems with his weight and was a tall chap, but Dunica even towers over Joseph, and fair play to him. He had a great season as well, but rode five Group 1 winners, a couple of classics, of course, as well, and he's really come of age. And as for Shane Cross, I think an awful lot, hats off to him. And I mean, this time last year I never even heard of Shane Cross. He only rode his first winner in April, would you believe it, this year. He's one of the very few people to actually ride his first winner at the same season and becomes champion apprentice, and he really ended off the season with a fine double last weekend. He really is a top class rider. He's already down to five, claiming just £5 now from next Monday. He had another double there today at Dundalk. He's ridden 30 winners already in his career. I think he's definitely a future star.
Yeah, and a big weekend as well for Tony Martin last weekend. Big race handicap double for New York based owner John Breslin.
Yeah, Golden Spirit came back to form, winning well at Down Royal, and fair play to Mr. Everest getting in first reserve into that November handicap. Good ride from John Egan. They thought it was a tip in itself, of course, for getting John Egan to come over and ride. Very good lightweight jockey, John. He's actually 51 or 52 now, John, and he's still riding as good as ever. Very competitive race, and certainly, you know, Tony is very good at those handicaps. There's no doubt about how those big handicaps, you always have to fear them. They don't happen all that often, maybe not as often as people think. It's not an easy thing to do in those handicaps, but certainly he's well able to train horses when he gets the right material.
Okay, let's have a look at the racing for the weekend then at Nace, of course, Martin, as you mentioned a little bit earlier on, some fantastic racing at Nace, and the first race you're going to look at is the 12:30, the first of eight races draw for 12 o'clock, but the 2 mile grade 3 Poplar Square Chase sees the return of the 2018 Arkle winner from Cheltenham Footpad.
Yeah, he really was a bit of a star last season, I have to say, Patrick. I mean, I thought he was a good hurdler the season before, but when he went chasing, I never thought he was going to turn out as good as he was. See, just from the very word go, I was there in Navan when he won his first chase, actually just a year ago it was, this Sunday, and he really was impressive on that occasion. He just seems to be a bit of a superstar over fences. He just measures his fences so well. He seems to have a different gear, and there's no doubt he's going to be long odds on favourite to win this race tomorrow. Ruby Walsh back on board. St. Calvados, interesting English rider, because this one was well fancied for the Arkle chase, a race of course, that Footpath won easily last March at Cheltenham Festival. But St. Cavitas was a strong second favourite on that occasion. Now, things didn't work out for him at all. He finished a well-beaten fourth, didn't run since then. And it's interesting about Harry Whittington has taken him over. He's getting £2 off Footpad tomorrow, which should be enough, of course, to reverse tables. But I do think that St. Cavitas could be a good second here. But Footpad, as I say, hopefully he'll win this on his way to bigger and better things. I really think that if he stays 100% sound, he could be a champion chaser next March. I think he really is that good.
The third race in the card is the Fishery Lane Grade 3 hurdle over 2 miles, and a very competitive contest here, Martin.
Yeah, strong race here. Involved in the top three, as well as six in it by Patrick, but really revolve around the Mullins pair, Mr. Judicator and Sal there, and also Esper Dallin for Gavin Cromwell, who was a very decent horse this time last season. He won his first three races over hurdles quite impressively. He actually started a strong favourite for the juvenile hurdle at Leopardstown Dublin Racing Festival last February. He was actually nearly an odds-on favourite there, but was only fourth on that occasion, and he didn't run again since. Obviously, things went wrong. But on that occasion, Mr. Judicator won the race. They went on and finished second to Fireclass in the Triumph Hurdle at Cheltenham, where Saldir was a well-beaten fifth. Now, then it came to Punchestown. Mr. Judicator started a favour for the champion four-year hurdle, and although he ran well, he was no match for Saldir, who beat him 3 lengths. It's interesting to see Ruby Walsh ride Saldir tomorrow, which probably means he's start favourite. But I just think sometimes at Punchestown Farm, just Mr. Judicator thought maybe just wasn't quite at his best. He had a long enough season running Cheltenham and running at Leopardstown, also running at Leopardstown over Christmas, and maybe on that level with tomorrow, Mr. Judicator could reverse those placings. Paul Townend certainly riding plenty of winners at the moment, currently leading Rachel Blackmore by 5 in the Jockey Championship, and I think Mr. Judicator could be a bit of value to beat Sandy or tomorrow.
The novice handicap chase for horses rated 0-116 is the quarter past 2 contest. Where are you going to post?
Yeah, strong enough race this too. I think Sir Bob for Robert Kleiner could be interesting. Mark Walsh certainly riding plenty of winners at the moment. He had some nice place form last season, and I'd say if he's 100% fit here, he must go well. Billy Brownie Jack was a father last time for Tufts of Round. Before that, had run some good races. Well, Shark Hammond and Rachel Blackmore won with Peacock Seekers last time and must enter the reckoning here as well. Another with a chance, obviously, is David Russell, of course, Nicole's Milan has a bits and pieces of form. I just think if Sir Bob, if the money comes from him, he could be the one.
The Sky Sports Racing Brown Lad Handicap Hurdle is the Grade B contest over 2.5 miles at a 10-3 with a 14 facing the starter.
Yeah, very competitive contest this, Patrick, no doubt. Recent winner Slippery Serpent must have a chance for Edward Grady and Paul Townend, although any rain that falls, and there is a fair bit forecast, might tell against him here. I think he's a better horse on better ground. Fitzhenry for Paul Nolan, who's having a good season at the moment, he has a bit of a chance as well. He won over fences here at Nace last season, won twice actually, and went very close, went second to Ferry Horse over hurdles. Looks nicely handicapped over hurdles and must be on the shortlist here. I was looking at the name escapes me for an old meet. I think a stable going very well. He's a tremendous treble last weekend at Down Royal, including 2 big races. And the name escapes me, is a horse that has plenty of form over hurdles and which he could be given a chance. Although, in saying all this, there's a horse there called Clint, who I thought was kind of gone as a horse. So I've seen him run twice at the Galway Festival, and he ran very poorly on both occasions. But recent form, he's actually come back to something like his best. He was a good second last time to Bedrock at Tipperary in a Grade 3 race. That was a very good run because Bedrock then, of course, went on and beat Samco last weekend at Down Royal, which was a big surprise. I just think Clint, off a mark of 133, he just has the form of the book to give him an each way chance here. He could be 6 or 7 to 1, and I think he might be worth chancing.
The beginner's chase is due off at 3.25 over 2 mile and 3 furlongs with a maximum field of 18.
A lot of beginner's chases now, Patrick, with the rain falling, are going to be really strong contests, and this is the first of, I think, will be an awful lot of very strong chases, and there's a couple of really good horses engaged here. It could even be a graded race, you could argue. Any second now for Ted Walsh is rated 144. Now, to be rated 144 and not win a race over fences shows you he's met some very, very good horses along the way, including the likes of Mona Lee, and he actually started a favour for the Close Brothers handicap chase at the Cheltenham Festival last March. Now, he didn't really cut much ice there, but he didn't run too badly either. He's some very, very good form to his credit, and with Mark Walsh on board, you can expect this one to go very close. Bacardi's actually started favouring this race last year for Billy Mullins, had to make do with third place, didn't really take the defence, it has to be said, and then took a fall at the Leopardstown Christmas Festival, didn't really look the same horse after that. But the fact they're trying again over fence suggests that maybe things could be different this time round, and any money for Bacardi's, you'd have to greatly respect. Burren Life is a good good second on his first run to Young Turk at Tipperary a couple of weeks ago over fences. That was a decent effort. He's a decent horse over hurdles as well and should go well for David Russell. But the one I was going to put up myself is a horse called Impact Factor for Jessica Harrington and Robbie Power. I thought this one was a nice novice hurdler last season. Always looked the type that would do well over fences. Sure to well schooled for this, and he could be good enough to win, but I would be very much afraid about any second now. That rate of 144 really ought to be good enough to win any ordinary beginner's chase.
Yeah, very strong beginner's chase. Just one for the notebook to keep an eye out for. Judkin, who won the Cork Point Point Bumper last Easter Monday. It was sold by Jimmy Mangan and his owners to Michael McDonough of County Clare, and could be the one to watch out for in the future in that aspect. Anything else on the card tomorrow at Nace, Martin?
Well, the opening race, Patrick, one horse definitely would have to draw your attention to here is a horse called Rhinestone for Joseph Ryan. Now, this lad, I'd seen him win at Thurles before Christmas last year. He absolutely bolted in, it has to be said. He beat a horse called Sancta Simona of Willie Munns, a decent mare, who certainly was one of her first two races over hurdles in quite good style. I thought Rhinestone was a very, very exciting horse on that occasion. He then ran in the Cheltenham Bumper. He didn't run so bad at all on that occasion, missed out Punchtown, and I just think he's the type that should do well over hurdles. Now, he probably will be a sharp price to win this race in the big field, but not a lot really of strong opposition against him. And I think Rhinestone should make his winning debut tomorrow, and he's a horse I think definitely would follow for the rest of the season.
Okay, so that's the next action taking place on Saturday. Moving to Navan on Sunday then, where the first race gets underway at 12:35. We're going to go stuck into the second race. That's the For Auction Novice Hurdle over 2 miles, and a serious matchup here with 8 going to post.
Yeah, and it looks between the two big ones from the two big stables. Quick Grabbing for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Felix Del G for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy. Now, Quick Grabbing has been quite impressive on his couple of runs over hurdles for Willie Mullins. He used to take a bit of a pull earlier in his career. I seen him in a bumper at Leopardstown 2 seasons ago, and he was very, very free on that occasion. But he seems to settle down nicely, and he's taken to the hurdles very well. Just wouldn't be sure about very soft ground for him. He does have to give a £7 away for that Grade 3 success to Felix De G, and I just think on Sunday that £7 could prove costly. I think Felix De G might be the one. He was a 3-time winner at bumpers last season, Felix De G, and ran well when 8th in the Cheltenham Bumper at the Cheltenham Festival. A decent horse all round, and I just think after his easy win at Galway in a maiden hurdle, that was a very easy race to pick for him as a kind of an auction maiden hurdle, so it wasn't very strong. He had to win it really. This would be a bit of a step up in class, but I think he's good enough getting £7 off Quick Grabbing.
The big guns are out in the Lismullen Hurdle over 2.5 miles, Martin. The Grade 2 contest will feature Identity Thief and, of course, Apples Jade.
Yeah, winner of this race last year, Patrick, and certainly this time last season she was in tremendous form. She went down and won the Hatton's Grace, then she won the 3-mile race at the Leopardstown Christmas Festival. All looked rosy in the garden on that occasion. She started a very strong favourite for the Mayor's Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival. Now, unfortunately, there was only 7 runners. She had to make a lot of running herself. Things just didn't work out on that occasion. She seemed to be, but I don't know, it just wasn't at her best. And then she got beaten afterwards again at the Punchtown Festival, both times by Benny the Duck for Willie Mullins, who, of course, is a top-class mare in her own right. So maybe that form isn't as bad maybe as it looked at the time. She looked just the way she raced in the race there, Patrick. She just seemed to be, I'm not quite sure, up to now, like, she was very genuine all the time in her career. And it just says on that occasion, she just, something wasn't quite right. Now, Gideon Town did announce over the summer that she had problems with her hormones, actually, last season. And they've hopefully fixed the problem now. So if she's anywhere near her best, she probably should win on Sunday, although it's her first run of the season. And it certainly won't be a cakewalk. Identity Thief is a Grade 1 winner at the entry, 3 mile, entry festival over 3 miles. Then finished off a season with a fairly good run in 4 to Faheen at the Punchdown Festival, again over 3 miles. He's always been a very good horse, Rachel Blackmore on board and should go pretty well here. Dartmouth Park was a good novice for Gordon Elliott last season, actually won a Grade 1 at the Punchdown Festival over 2.5 miles. But the likes of Jetski, of course, former champion hurdler, and Arty Fire, former run-up in the champion hurdle, also are in with chances here. But hopefully, if Apples Jade is anywhere near her best, she should win this on her way to another good season.
The following race is the Toe.com 4-3 chase over 2 miles, Martin, and again another competitive field of just 5 runners.
Yeah, the likely favourite here was Great Field, but he wasn't declared by Willie Mullins. I think they're just giving him more time. And it's Bally O'Sheen that heads the market at the moment under Barry Geraghty for Enda Bulger. Always a horse that's been held in high regard, and he hasn't had that many miles on the clock, and he certainly looks the type that could have a really breakthrough season, maybe in Grade 1 company here. If that's the case, he probably ought to win this. He was well placed to win his last couple of races, certainly over hurdles last time time, he took advantage of a nice handicap hurdle mare to win a valuable handicap at the Stowell Festival. That's very good form. And back over fences on Sunday, I can see why he's going to start favourite. And saying that, though, I do like Dr. Phoenix for Gordon Elliott. I think this horse, even though at 10 years of age, he improved an awful lot last season. He started off a mark 137, now it's rated 156. He almost put it up to On the Soul in a Grade 2 race at the Ferry House Festival in Easter. He fell at the second last on that occasion, went right upside On the Soul, and he certainly would have given him a good race. He didn't run that well at the Punchdown Festival after, but that was the end of a long, hard season. He'd won the Darren Moore Chase. He also won a graded race at the at Naas as well in March. I just think with soft ground almost guaranteed on Sunday, this one has a very good chance under Davy Russell. Ordinary World and Rock the World, both decent horses, well, you can never rule out Willie Mullins, Ruby Walsh, but listen, dear here. But I do think it's between Dr. Phoenix and Bally O'Shane. I'll just give a slight vote to Dr. Phoenix.
The St. Johann Hotel Park handicap hurdle is the 2 mile contest at quarter past three, Martin, with 16 runners going to post.
Well, there's one that really jumps out here, Patrick, has to be said. The old kind of familiar foes of Charles Burns and Davy Russell, a horse called Wonder Late. Now, this one was attracted some fancy prices last weekend. It was back to 40 to 1 into 16 to 1 for the next November handicap. It only just came with a very strong late challenge, wasn't beaten far at all by Mr. Everest for Tony Martin. I thought it was a very, very eye-catching run. Back over hurdles now off America, 119. He certainly should rate higher than that. His form over hurdles isn't that to write home about, but just at the feed on that, he should leave that well behind. And I think he could be fairly sharp price in the 16-runner handicap. He definitely looks the one to beat here. Teacher's Pet, decent mare over fences and over hurdles would go well. And like an open book, has been doing well for the Brooks of late. Very consistent animal and should get involved here. But Wonder Late, I think, I'd be surprised if he gets beaten in this one.
Anything else on the Navan card Sunday, Martin?
Well, big fees, I suppose, the order of the day. I suppose the opening race is wide open. It's very hard to keep anything there. Maybe Epsilon Indy has been running well for Robbie McNamara and Brian Cooper. He's doing well of late, second over 3 miles last time out. He could go well in the opening race, but there's 24 runners there. The last race, some interesting ones here, but one in particular, I've seen one that punched on Festival earlier on in the season. Column of Fire was second to a stable commander, his called Commander Fleet, in the Gosland Rubber Bumper at the Punchdown Festival. Now, Commander Fleet looks a really, really exciting horse, and Column of Fire didn't lose much in defeat. He was beaten about 8 lengths on that occasion. But with Lisa Neal on board on Sunday, I expect him maybe to probably win this. Obviously, the danger might be Getaway North from the Willie Mullins and Patrick Mullins alliance. But I think Column of Fire sets a high standard in form. It'll take a good one to beat him.
Okay, so that's the action in Ireland this weekend. Let's go across the pond then, because the last flat turf meeting takes place tomorrow at Doncaster, Martin. Some good interesting racing over there tomorrow, featuring the November handicap, which we will touch on in a second. But firstly, we're going to have a look at the Wentworth Stakes, due off at 2:05. And we've got a couple of Irish runners here.
Yeah, and the softer the ground, the better, really, here, Patrick, for a lot of our chances here. We've got the likes of Downforce and the Brogy Man. Gordon R. Burden, of course, is back again to do battle as well. So it's a very interesting contest from an Irish point of view. A horse there I've seen run the last time I thought at Navan, first run for a while, that I thought maybe he was coming back to form was the Brogy Man. And the more rain, the better for this lad. There's no question about that. Jordan Mossy normally rides this one, and he heads over with every chance, really, I suppose, of reaching the frame. I know actually the lads own him and be certainly looking for a good weekend over in Doncaster. Downforce is a horse that loves the ground as heavy as possible, so the more rain that falls for him, the better his chance. Gordon R. Burden, I suppose, at 10 years of age now, maybe he's not as good as he was, but he still has enough decent form to his credit to suggest he could get involved here. Well, the other Irish one is actually Could It Be Love, who is a decent horse in her own right, but seems to find it hard to get her head in front. Hopefully one of those Irish ones will win that one. I would suggest maybe Downforce and the Bogeyman each way, hopefully at decent prices.
Okay, and then of course November handicap over a mile and a half then is the feature contest of the day, Martin. And unusually you see a Paul Nicholls having a runner here in Birds of Prey.
Yeah, I think this one must have a big chance, Patrick. It's obviously a very open race. It never needs a race to solve this one, because obviously last day of the season, a lot of horses have gone off. I don't see too many. We haven't had Irish runners in this for a long time. And I think the fact that Paul Nicholls is running this Birds of Prey, you suggest he'll have a decent chance. Interesting to see what way the market goes, but certainly won't be lacking for fitness coming from this stable. And he's had a good start to the season already, Paul. I think he definitely is. When he targets a race like this, you always have to take note. You can be sure that the horse will be 100% fit, and I think definitely support him each way.
Okay, it's good cards at the entry as well. Tomorrow, of course, the feature being the €80,000 or £80,000, I should say, handicap chase over 2.5 miles. And there's also a good card over in Wincanton as well, as the Badger Ales Trophy is the feature there. The listed contest over 3 miles, due off at 3:35. And plenty of horses that we've known down throughout the last couple of seasons in this one, like Savon Demand, Finger on the Switch, and of course, Big Bad John for Nigel Twiston Davis. But the bigger race, of course, is the Elite Hurdle, Martin. and we see the return of We Have a Dream, but likely favourite here from the stablemate of Nicky Henderson's Verdana Blue.
Yeah, interesting. That We Have a Dream, it's always interesting, Patrick, when the four-year-olds have to start out on their next season, if you know what I mean. He was a fair horse last season, That We Have a Dream, no doubt about that. Won a couple of nice races. But sometimes what happens when they get to this kind of level here is that you either have to go kind of grade one and champion hurdle route, which is very, very difficult then for five-year-olds, because not many five-year-olds won the actual champion hurdle. I remember Catchett won in 2008, and he was actually the first five-year-old to win the race since See You Then, which I believe back in 1985. It's always kind of difficult, and what happens normally, if they don't go over fences, they take on the kind of really good older horses, they're getting a bit of weight early on the season. But it's just a tough ask to go from four-year-old company into all-age company at the very highest level. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes, but certainly he's in the right stable to do that, and you'd have to say that you'd have to respect his chances on Sunday. Verdana Blue is a decent horse in her own right, ran some good racing. We've seen travelling terrible well, I remember, in the old Hoco Trophy early on the season, or the last February it was, and didn't figure to finish there, but certainly travels really well. And I suppose maybe because it's an older animal, it might just be good enough to beat We Have a Dream. But he certainly is a promising horse, and if he can actually win on Sunday, he could set him up to maybe be an outsider for the champion hurdle come next March. But he will have to improve an awful lot on what he's done even up to now.
And usually one good race in a short while over in England on a Sunday. Well, the race this weekend, the Sandown, the Future Stars Intermediate Chase, is one to keep an eye out for, because over the last 3 years we've seen two Gold Cup winners come out of it. Coney Green won the race in 2015, going on to win the Gold Cup in 2016, and of course Might Bite, who was second in last year's Gold Cup, won this race in 2017. Just the four runners here, Martin, but great to see the return of Terra Fort for Nicky Henderson again.
Yeah, a decent horse is Terra Fort, ran well at Cheltenham and then won well after an entry, and you'd have to expect he's got so much ammunition that, you know, I think this will probably win here, Terra Fort. And then you would actually have to say, again, heading towards the Gold Cup, without a doubt, if she can prove good enough here, you'd imagine that it would be heading towards the Gold Cup and maybe King George, those type of races. But yes, it is interesting about certain races for good ones over the years, Patrick. And actually, would you believe, the Beginner's Chase at Navan on Sunday, which you didn't actually say, has been won by some serious horses in the past, the likes of, you know, Main and Footpad and all those, Bally Casey. And it's funny the way sometimes races early on the season are always targeted by some of the bigger trainers, because they know it's going to be a competitive contest. It's probably a good test for them, and then that race then throws up, you know, a winner that will go on and on to bigger things. And it's interesting to say Coney Green might have won this race in the past couple of years.
Yep, let's go to Australia then, Martin. We mentioned about the Melbourne Cup a little bit earlier on, but some Irish jockeys having some great success over there in the last week at the Melbourne Cup Carnival, starting off with Johnny Allen. Johnny from Kilworth in County Cork has been proving himself as a good flat jockey. He went over as a jumps jockey there a couple of years ago, but he's been making his way down throughout Victoria and New South Wales.
Well, that's interesting, because I remember Johnny here riding a couple of seasons ago over hurdles. I didn't actually know he was riding the flat over there, but it just shows you though, Patrick, you know, when you get your grounding in Ireland, no matter where you go in the world, you know, Ireland is always known as kind of the land of the horse. And you have this, you know, I think Irish jockeys in particular have this innate ability that maybe other riders just don't have. They just have a natural affinity with the horse, and it's no surprise to see them do well all over the world. Irish jockeys well sought after. They mightn't be good enough to make many waves here, but it's so competitive here. It takes the Ruby Walsh, and you would have Tony Mackay and all those type of people over the years, Paul Carby and David Russell. It's such a high standard here that when you go to other countries, even though you haven't made it here as such, and Johnny didn't do too badly here, but it's just you obviously wouldn't be in the top 20 jockeys, but you can still make it in different countries because you have that natural affinity with the horses. But an awful lot of Irish people, it seems just to be bred into them, and I think that's why, you know, when you travel the world over, once you mention from Ireland, people know straight away that's the land of the horse. And if you've worked at the horses, it's the same with the stud farms all over in Kentucky and those places. A lot of people running those studs in Australia, Dubai, are all Irish people. I know even the person I used to work with years ago is one of the top men in Sheikh Hamdan's place in Dubai. Again, a good apprentice he was years ago, but he just has that natural affinity with horses, and it can take it all over the world. And it's good to see Johnny Allen do so well over there, and it's no surprise in my book at all.
Just to mention about the Melbourne Cup, Martin, 1-2-3 for Britain there, yeah. And a good win there for cross-counter for Charlie Appleby.
It's interesting that in the last couple of years, like the last 2 years, I've won by 3 years, Patrick. It really is interesting. It hadn't been won since 1941 till Rekindling went down there, but they do get a nice weight for age allowance. And I think you have to say a cross-counter proved a very worthy winner. It's having an excellent ride, I have to say. It came from a long way back, and you know, you'd have to say Renault awarded bidder. I actually seen him finish in a good second in the Great Voltigeur Stakes in York in August, and I thought maybe he should have went for the Ledger, but obviously they had different plans in their mind. He had Kew Gardens back in third place on that occasion, and of course Kew Gardens went on and won the English Ledger for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. But certainly, like, it's a high class race, the Melbourne Cup. Now people, the European horses have really been targeted for the race. A 1-2-3 for England this year, a 1-2-3 for Ireland last year. I'm sure the Aussies are not overly happy about it all, but it's not a whole lot you can do. It's just so much prize money. People have kind of worked out the travel arrangements so very well in the quarantine. They seem to be well able to prepare them now compared to years ago when Vintage Scrap went down on 1.93 for Dermot Weld. That was an unbelievable achievement at the time. But now the world has got so much smaller with all this air travel. I mean, before you'd have to go with taking maybe 3 or 4 days or maybe a week to get there in a boat. Now we can be over there in, you know, 48 hours in a plane. And everything is just so improved so much with regard to travel and with veterinary progress as well, that the horses, it probably doesn't take as much out of them now as anymore. And you can get, it's a very strong form. I mean, the same distance of 2 miles, the European horses would have a definite edge over the Australians when it comes to staying horses over a mile and a half and plus. Same with the Americans as well. They don't really go into the longer distance races too much in America either. So we have a bit of an edge that way. Now that we kind of captured the travelling, all the arrangements and all that, I expect Europe to do very well in the next couple of years in the Melbourne Cup.
Yesterday, of course, was Oaks Day, the third day of the carnival over 8 days, and the opening race was won by Cork jockey Wayne Lorden when he steered home Vinnyucha by a nose to win the Marabong Plate, over £50,000 to the winning connections.
Yeah, it's great to see Wayne Lorden doing well, because he did, like, when he kind of took a bit of a chance, I suppose, joining the Aidan O'Brien stable, because obviously you're not going to be top jockey there with Ryan Moore and the likes of Dunica ahead of you. But he's always been a top class rider. He used to ride for Tommy Stack an awful lot. Tommy retired then and gave it the reins to his son Fozzie. He also rode an awful lot for David Watchman, of course, who retired as well a couple of years ago. So it's just, he was kind of maybe at a loose end, but he's always a top class jockey. Wayne rode Soul Power so many times as well, and Slade Power as well for Eddie Lynham. But he just, you know, he's down the pecking order maybe in Ballydoyle, and maybe it kind of leads to maybe lack of chances as such. But as soon as he gets a chance to ride a big winner, he's good enough. He's well able to weigh 4.85 as well, the Patrick. Very small lad, but very, very strong and lots of experience. And it's great to see him doing well. And a lot of people are saying, you know, maybe he was mad to join the Ballydoyle stable because there's so many jockeys ahead of you. But like, when he does ride a winner now, it's obviously a big one.
Let's have a look at the final day of the carnival then tomorrow, Martin. Two races to concentrate on tomorrow. The first one being the VRC Sprint Classic at 5:10, and that is over 6 furlongs. Aidan O'Brien has 4 runners in this one. We've got Intelligence Cross, is going to be ridden by Damien Lane. Fleet Review will be ridden by James MacDonald. US Navy Flag will be ridden by Ryan Moore, and Wayne Lorden will ride Spirit of Valor. Of course, Spirit of Valor and US Navy Flag both ran in Mooney Valley in the Manicano Stakes, where Spirit of Valor was only just touched off and when ridden by Oisín Murphy.
Well, the one thing about Spirit of Valor, which I know well from here, Patrick, is it absolutely bounces off fast ground. And it's no surprise that he's doing well in Australia. He was probably a bit unlucky to lose on that occasion, and maybe, hopefully, he can make it, could go one better here. I would give US Navy Flag a better chance. He certainly missed the break on that occasion, and any sort of rain wouldn't have helped his chances at all. He wants it fairly fast as well. He was a very good horse early in the season here. Of course, he won the July Cup as well, but he was running over longer distances, and now back to a sprint distance, you'd obviously have to give him a chance here. But hopefully Spirit of Valor can do it. But no doubt the Australians, they really do have some very, very good sprinters, and you have to always respect them. It's very hard to beat them over there in their own backyard, but hopefully one of the two Aidan O'Brien horses can go well there.
Couple of Australian runners who run very well. Brave Smash for Darren Weir, of course, the recent winner of the big race at Caulfield, Redzel, of course, who won the Everest for the last two seasons, yeah. Be ridden by Kieran McAvoy. And of course, a horse that he beat in the Black Caviar Sprint back in February, Red Cork Warrior, who we saw running over here in the Diamond Jubilee.
Absolutely, it's very interesting that Red Cork Warrior ran some good races here. Interesting you say about Kieran McAvoy, Patrick. The one thing I found about the Melbourne Cup, he got a 35-day ban, which is really, really a strong day.
Hugh Bowman,
suspension. Yeah, he's obviously allowed ride tomorrow then. I think there was something about because of the Grade 1 race.
Well, Hugh Bowman picked up the 35.
Oh, sorry, Hugh Bowman. Yeah, that's right. He's, and it was unbelievable, like, to get such a suspension there. 35, that's a lot. It was, I think, 3 different incidents they caused it. But certainly, sure, it's March slow in giving them a big ban like that. They certainly don't take much messing over in Australia.
No, and the three instances, of course, were the interference in the Melbourne Cup, lack of responsive time for the
using the whip, I think. And
I can't think what the other one was for. It totaled to 41 days, but on account of good behaviour, it's 35. But because of that, now Martin, he now misses out on the big race ride tomorrow for Joseph Ryan in the McKinnon Stakes, where he rides Latrobe.
Yeah, and of course, the Irish Derby winner of early on the season. He didn't run, I suppose, so well the last time in the International Stakes at York. And there was, you know, talk about him going for the Melbourne Cup. And then, as you say, I think the ground was too fast for him. And going back to 10 furlongs now, he's just wonder, is he, you know, good enough to win? It's a brave move, but obviously done by Australian owners and they want to do it. He was a good winner of the Irish Derby here. And going through Rostropovich, who ran a good race when he finished a close-up fifth in that Melbourne Cup the other day, he must have a bit of a chance in that form. But you'd have to hope that, you know, the fast ground won't be too much against him. It's definitely a bit of a blow that he doesn't have the same rider he had before, but at the same time you're hoping that he's going to run well. I suppose the Irish Derby this year, maybe people say it wasn't as strong a race as it can be. Saxon Murray was third, but you'd be hopeful. He's a very lightly raced horse that he can certainly improve on that. I thought he ran a good race when chasing home Flag of Honour over a mile and six at Tacora, but I'm just not quite sure if a mile and a quarter if he has the pace for that.
Yeah, and look, that race is due off tomorrow morning at 5-6. He'll be up against Blair House for William Buick and Charlie Appleby, and he'll be also up against the Victorian Derby winner from last weekend, Extra Brute, and Shalala, who won the big Group 1 over there, the Emperor Row Stakes last weekend as well.
Yeah, certainly a strong contest indeed. And you have to say, and fair play, that you mentioned Charlie Appleby. He's had some seasons. There's no doubt about that, Patrick. He has done a wonderful job for Godolphin and Sheikh Mohammed, because they were definitely down in the doldrums there last, you know, a couple of years. Obviously, the O'Brien team were beating them in most big races. But really, I think Charlie Appleby has been a revelation as a trainer. Win the Derby, of course, this year as well, and of course, the Melbourne Cup as well. He seems to be getting back. Like, I think the Sheikh is getting back to the level he was at maybe 10, 15 years ago. And it was interesting, I've seen a big race there, the one with Galileo actually in America, because for a long time he wouldn't touch the Coolmore Sires. It was interesting that he had Galileo Sire winning a big race in America last weekend. I think that's a change of direction for him. I think it's mad not to use the best sires, and obviously Galileo has certainly been one of the best sires we've ever used, but now that he's had success with that, I'm sure he'll go back to him again in the future.
Okay, that's the racing from around the world this weekend. I think we've covered all bases this week, Martin. But as we mentioned, it is your time for your best bets. No pressure. 3 out of 5 winners last weekend, Martin. So no pressure this week.
Well, I don't know about that. There's always pressure, but I wouldn't have too much on. But I would take a chance maybe on Plint in that 250 tomorrow at the Brown Lad at Nace. And also in the Beginner's Chase, I really like that Impact Factor. I think it's a horse to follow. I do think Wonderlay should win the 315 at Navan. And possibly then I would take another chance on a horse called Jets in the 240 in that Beginner's Chase at Navan on Sunday.
Okay, Martin, enjoy the weekend's racing. It's a busy weekend again. Of course, the National Hunt season fully into swing. Of course, we'll be back next week. We'll be looking forward to the Cheltenham November meeting. But Martin, thanks very much for joining us again this week.
Thanks, Patrick. Mind yourself. Take care.
Your horse racing preview was brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.